Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
T.J. Edwards.
Edwards fills the gap. That is the 14th tackle today.
Linebacker for your Chicago Bears.
Great blitz pick. Oh, Spears, but that gets knocked away from Levis by Darrell Taylor.
Sweat's
loose ball. And out of the pack, it looked like Edwards recovered it. It is Chicago ball inside the Tennessee 35.
Former Lakes Community High School quarterback.
Edwards back to pass. He's going deep. Down the middle, he's got Spencer, and he makes the catch at the 40. Edwards will roll out to near side looking to throw. Steps up in the pocket, he's got Bergeron wide open, and it's a race to the end zone.
T.J. Edwards with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
How about that? Adam Studzinski puts together the open for our guy, T.J. Edwards. Never let it be said we don't take care of our people. He is on Twitter at TJEdwards8, the Bears linebacker who was all over the football field on the lakefront on Sunday, joins us on the Score Hotline that is brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hey, TJ, how about that?
Yeah, not bad there, man. Even the old high school highlights, man, I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate that you're going to be with us every week, and what a win you guys had. And you had a great day, led the game in tackles with 15. I know that wasn't necessarily how you guys drew it up, but how satisfying was it to see the defense rally in the second half of the game and you guys walk away with a win?
Hey, yeah, first, a little easier to be here with you guys after a win, obviously. It's one of those, it's the first game. You don't quite know how it's going to go till you get there. And, definitely some things didn't go our way, but we found a way to make enough plays to win. And I think that was kind of the biggest takeaway for us, for sure.
I want to ask you about tackling and the way it is now in the league, the way practices are, where tackling isn't practiced the way it used to be. And it's very important during training camp to keep people healthy, to not tackle to the ground. How do you make sure, and how does Matt Eberflus make sure that you guys are ready to do what you have to do when the lights are really on?
Yeah, I mean, I think the game has changed that way in terms of, you know, training camp and things like that, just to protect guys, like you said. But, from day one, that is honestly the first thing that we do as a defense is our tackling drills. So it might not be, you know, live contact where you're trying to run through your own teammate on a you know, practice rep, but you're also just making sure your technique is right, your angle's right. You're grabbing the hamstring the way you should be. You're running your feet. All those little technique things are something that we do daily here. And that's definitely something that Flus makes sure we stay on and we stay, you know, alert of how we do during the games for sure.
It looked like inside of the game that Tennessee was kind of taking advantage of you guys' aggression early on. And there looked to be a couple little tactical changes that you guys made where the ends were had maybe wider splits or playing out like wide nine stuff. How do you feel like you guys were able to take back the game a little bit from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for us, I think coming out, the first couple of series were actually really good series for us. We were able to get them backed up and get some three and outs and things like that. But at the end of the day, especially with, you know, Tennessee coming in, new coordinator, new staff, things like that. So you have an idea of, what you're going to get, but you don't truly know until you see it. So I think once we kind of understood really where they were trying to attack us and, things they were trying to do, we already went into the game plan with knowing that screens and outside runs are going to be something that they want to take advantage of and try to get to early. So I think in the second half, once we kind of realized exactly what they were trying to do, is just more so of us executing a little better and, tackling a little better and things like that, kind of getting them behind the sticks. And we were able to make some plays from that.
Will Levis looked like he was in fairly decent command of the offense until he just wasn't, until things got just out of control. Do you sense that on the defense? Do you talk about it? Was there a moment in the game where you started to feel like he's losing it a little bit, for lack of a better term?
I mean, I felt like, going into the game, we also knew that, he's a guy who can extend plays. He's a bigger guy. So he's, going to take some risks, especially on third down in terms of his legs, to try to make some things happen. But I think for us, it's all about getting guys, behind the sticks. Right. And I feel like in the first half, we had some third downs that we didn't quite get off the field and things like that. And, as an offense, and you get into that rhythm, they start to build that confidence up. And I felt like that's kind of what we let them do in the first half. And I felt like in the second half, we kind of just buckled in, right? We took away the run game, which was something we knew that they had to rely on to kind of, open things up. And, with their coordinators, we knew that they're going to do a good job of kind of moving us and things like that. But I think as a whole, we kind of just buckled in and kind of, settled our feet and just did, played Bears football. And it was good to see in the second half for sure.
All right. I got a 2-part question for you, TJ. One,
here we go.
The halftime, everyone's kept talking about like how calm things were in the locker room at halftime. So I'd love to get your perspective on that. That's number one. Number two,
yeah.
How hyped were you when the punt got blocked?
Yeah. So, first part, I felt like honestly, as a whole, we did such a good job of just everyone just taking a breath, right? I think, it's so easy in those games when things aren't going your way. It's the first game, it's the home opener. We go down whatever it was, 17-3 going into half. Definitely a time where a lot of teams could flip and, guys start pointing fingers and, coaches are freaking out. And that wasn't the case in our locker room. I think in the past that could have gone a different way. But I feel like just with the guys that we have in the building right now, and like a culture that we're building, there was no panic in anyone. And that was really cool to see. I feel like that was the biggest takeaway. And then the punt block, man, it's something that we kind of, you see the special teams working on all week, honestly, in prep for this game. And to see Hardy go out there, a dude who just, I thought, had an awesome camp, an awesome preseason, was super excited that he made the team and things like that. And to go out there and make a play like that, man, that was some old school football right there. So it was cool to see. And, J.O. with the great scoop to go score. And I thought all day special teams was just dominant, man. They changed the game. And, plays like that, they get you going for sure.
Who does the talking on this defense?
Honestly, we got quite a few. I think we got a lot of, I think our, honestly, just characters in general, we got on this defense, and it's a great group to be around. Obviously Maine has the green dot. So we're listening to Maine every snap to get the call and things like that. But I think everyone speaks when it's time, right? You got a bunch of different guys. You got, Kevin Byard, both Tremaine and I, Marcus Walker, you got Jalen Johnson, you got so many guys who have a voice, but also, I think the way that we go about our business, we all understand that we're all leaders, and it's going to take all of us to kind of get these things done. So I would say it's a lot by committee, but I would say definitely, Tremaine has some great things to say, and guys really listen when he talks for sure.
From your point of view, going all the way back to last season, how has Montez Sweat changed things for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's an absolute force, right? He's someone who, needs to be accounted for on every play, because he can, he can wreck the game for sure. And I think, whether he's getting the slide or he's getting, two, three guys at some point, it's just kind of chipping him as he gets to his rushes. But, it's definitely someone that we know that they have attention on. And for us as backers, you know, obviously, you know, having Tez for full offseason now, you know, having that chemistry kind of build and, you know, seeing what he sees, you know, honestly, as a whole defensive line unit, you know, kind of understanding that group a little bit better has only helped us, man. And, you know, we know, you know, third down that those guys are ready to go hunt. And, you know, I'm excited to see kind of where that group goes this year, man, because it's an excited group for sure.
When you look at the tape of C.J. Stroud and knowing what he did last season, really impressive for a rookie to be as good as he was. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely as advertised, right? You know, I think they got a bunch of weapons over there, and, you know, obviously just had a really good week running the football too, and that kind of only just opens things up for him in terms of the play action game, taking shots down the field when you kind of have to load the box if you're not stopping the run. So I know that'll be a point of emphasis for us this week. You know, it's a really good football team, and you know, we're excited because we know it's a great challenge. You know, Sunday night, it doesn't get much better than that against a really high quality opponent. But you know, they got weapons everywhere. Like I said, I think their backs are really good. Their offensive line is really good, and you know, they got a guy who orchestrates it all. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. You know, it's gonna be I know it's gonna be jumping in there too. So we're excited to get down there.
Well, it was certainly jumping at Soldier Field, and we know why.
Yeah.
We know why the fans were reacting the way they were, and it's because of the quarterback. Nothing against you and nothing against the defense.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. but everybody Absolutely. Everybody knows that this is supposed to be the start of something special. Now, how do you go about your jobs? How does everybody just work on what they can control while also knowing the massive expectations for that young man?
Yeah. And, you know, as you guys know, I'm from here. So I understand around this time that there's going to be buzz around the city when it's football time. You know, number one pick, I get it all. And I think he's done such a good job of just being himself, right? Not trying to do too much, you know, be the playmaker that he is. And also, I feel like his confidence is building every single day. You know, I think it's only just going to add for us because it's so fun when that place is rocking and it's jumping and people are into the game. And, you know, people care. They want to see, you know, their team win. And, you know, I don't blame them. So it's going to be a heck of a year all year. I think we're going to have, you know, crowds like that all year round, just because, like you said, you know, I get that, you know, nowadays it's an offensive game and things like that. So people want to see it. But we're excited just anytime we get to play at home, you know, with those fans, no doubt.
As you're growing up here, who were your favorites? I'm not going to limit you to a number, but who were your favorites? who were the players that you love to watch and the ones that you were sitting there going, I want to be that guy when I grow up?
Yeah, I mean, we were you know, we were serious about the Bears growing up. Like my dad, my mom, every Sunday, dad, I don't know how many times I've had to listen to actually this show in the car. But we were, you know, my dad is all Chicago sports and things like that. But I think growing up, you know, it's easy to kind of gravitate towards Hester, just because of the plays he would make. But for me, like the defense is always so fun to watch, man. Like the Mike Brown, like Brian Urlacher, Briggs. I always gravitated to Briggs, just because I love the way he played the game. I think, you know, both of those guys were so smart, and you can just tell by the way that they read things that they were so quick to the football and, always making plays. And I think just the longevity they had here is something that's so cool. And I think so rare in our game. And for them to be able to do it at such a high level for such a long time, man, it's, you got nothing but respect for it. You really do.
How much even now does it mean for you to put that uniform on?
It's cool, right? And I think it hit a little different this year, you know, with the captain patch and things like that. That's something, you know, I think something that's voted on by your peers, you know, to have in your hometown, you know, to have that is something that's really special and I take really serious. But I mean, it's the dream, right? I even think, you know, just for the first time last year of putting that jersey on with, you know, a bunch of people that I knew in the stands. And, you know, now I'm really excited because I just, you know, I want to play well here. You know, it was always the dream to kind of play here and that, but it's not enough for me just to be here. I want to, you know, write my own name in this legacy and see where it goes for sure.
Well, TJ, we're really looking forward to this relationship throughout the year. And like you say, it's always more fun for you and easier for you to come on after a win. So that's within your control.
So, yeah, so win every game. Yeah,
just don't lose, and then it'll be great.
Fine.
Yeah, just don't lose.
Like, listen, I got a tough show coming up on Tuesday. We got to win this game, man. I don't know what you guys are doing. Yeah.
That's right. That's the right. That's prioritizing the right way. TJ, again, thank you so much. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. I'll catch you guys next week.
That's TJ Edwards of the Chicago Bears.
This is going to be great.
Be fun. You want some Bears coverage? Download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haugh and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the Week 2 showdown at Houston. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I think that we've been blessed with really good Bears guests, but to have someone, it's kind of like a trifecta. He's a starter, he's from here, and he listens to the station.
And he's good.
Would that be a quad? Quadfecta? Is that a thing? Quad box?
He's got a quad.
Superfecta.
Superfecta.
Right? Isn't that what we call it at the track?
It is, super? Yeah. The super.
So he's the superfecta.
Not different from the ultra back. He's the superfecta.
The ultra back is the person who beat you in Scrabble.
He did.
You guys know this story? You guys don't know this story?
I know what you're talking about.
He cheated.
No. We're not allowing that. So you know how Dan is, you know, he's Duke Dan? Guy. And he, yeah. Yeah, you know how Dan's Dan and stuff?
That was a very Duke word you used.
Having two Duke guys here during transition yesterday was a thing. Anyway, Raymond Harris used to do shows. The Ultra Back, number 29? Is that right for Raymond? I think that's right. And he's like a great Scrabble player. Like, he plays Scrabble. He's not just someone who knows a lot of words like Dan. And so he challenged Dan to a Scrabble match.
Yes.
And Dan got his ass whooped.
I got beat. I will say I was not ready for either his style of play or the rules by which he played. He didn't cheat. He did not cheat. But it was a different kind of Scrabble game than for which I was prepared. I was blindsided, I was beaten, and I have to own it. Period. That happened.
It did happen.
It did. The ultra back. The ultra back came and got me. Ian Happ's going to join us next on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Drilled in the air. It's got a chance. Get out the tape measure for Ian Happ. All the way on to Waveland Avenue.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
What I love about Ian is very dedicated and serious about his craft.
Gold Glove Award winner.
And Happ makes a great catch up against the left field fence.
And that robs a home run.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Danny Mueller's hot take. Chocolate isn't candy. He was eating a Crunch bar, and I said, isn't that candy? And he said, no, it's a chocolate bar. It's different.
You know what the craziest part about that statement is? Is that it's called a Hershey's candy bar.
It That's what I said.
It has the word candy in it.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
I was going to say that's an interesting take, but that's just bizarre. That chocolate isn't candy. Okay. All right. So be it. Ian Happ joins us. He is the Cubs' current WAR leader at 3.7 with a WRC plus of 126. And he is with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. Ian, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. How do you manage stress in because this is 2 years of this now, where it's September and you guys are trying to make a push. How do you handle the stress of this?
You know, it's all part of the job. I think there's definitely times that are more stressful than playing close games late in the year, but you know, April's stressful too. There's close games in April, and you know, ninth innings that you have one run away from, you know, the other team scoring, you're on defense. It's all part of it. I think you just get used to that grind. This is the fun part now in September when you know, you can make a push and make something happen.
How important is it to you that the team finishes with a winning record?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think for the group, for you know how well that I think we've played these last couple months, I think you know finishing with a winning record is an important part. I know sometimes for fans, it's not if you don't make the playoffs and you have a winning record, it's maybe even a little bit more bittersweet. But I think just playing above 500 baseball is an important benchmark. Obviously, you know having a good enough record to make the playoffs and be in it, that's the most important part.
Would it signal anything to you about kind of where things stand with the team?
As far as winning record or not?
Yeah.
I think having a winning record in a big league season is an accomplishment. But I think that the more important thing is to find a way to sneak into the playoffs and make something happen once you're there.
Considering how this season has had its ups and downs, like most of them do, what have you learned? Do you feel like you've learned about the guys not letting go of the rope? Because there are other teams that were in similar situations that haven't played as well as you guys have.
I think we have a group of veterans that's seen a lot of baseball, that's been around a lot of baseball and seen a lot of teams do it different ways to get to a point where they're actually in the playoffs and that understand that it's a 162-game season and you just have to keep going. I think it's a great lesson for the young guys that are watching, you know, the way that the veteran guys on this team prepare and go out and do their business every day. But I think it does say something just about the level of resilience and wanting to keep pushing.
Michael Bush, 4-for-5. And he's an interesting case because he's an older rookie yet still a rookie, and probably along, obviously, with Shota Imanaga going to be, you know, pushing their way under with some for some all rookie recognition. We haven't talked a lot about him, and he hasn't been in the spotlight a great deal, but he has been in a lot of ways a fairly consistent performer, getting his first full big league opportunity. And we should note that, because some people get that chance and don't take advantage of it in the way that he has.
Yeah, he's been rock solid. I mean, I don't think he is getting, I think he's getting a little overshadowed in the rookie of the year conversation, but also
a little bit.
Just on what he's meant to our group. Consistency, his ability to hit, you know, he's hit in the two hole, he's hit in between myself and Seiya, but he's also going to hit down that 5-6 spot. And he's gotten on base, he's walked at a high rate. And one of the more impressive things is his ability at first base and what he's been able to do. You know, when he got traded over, there was a lot of talk about the bat and how good the bat was, but he had played some second and some third. They tried to stick, I think the Dodgers tried to stick him at third a little bit last year, and he was obviously blocked by Freddie Freeman at first in L.A., but the work that he's put into defense at first base, how hard he's worked at it, how good it's been, I think he might be second in the NL in defensive run saves. So he's been very, very good over there. You've been able to see him get better as the year goes on, with the footwork at the base, learning, kind of playing with these guys, the great defensive, you know, middle infield that we have. It's been fun to watch, and I think that's a testament to just how hard he works every day, and our infield coach Jonathan Mota.
Another one of those people that should be getting consideration for Rookie of the Year is Shota Imanaga. I don't know that I've seen someone come in and embrace the city, not just being a Cub and out going out there and doing his job, but the way that Shota has done it. From your perspective, what's it been like to watch Shota do all of this stuff while seemingly being one of the more fun people to be around?
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been awesome just to see how much he has enjoyed it, how much he's enjoyed being with the group. He has been fantastic, you know, from a pitching standpoint. He's continued to work some different pitches in, and he's not solely pitching off the fastball and the splitter, but it's pretty impressive. And to come to a new country and, you know, not exactly speak the language and to still enjoy and kind of love being a part of the group. It's really cool to see.
Why have the Cubs been so much better offensively on the road this year?
I think Wrigley's the second worst ballpark in the big leagues to hit this year. If you look at the park factor just in 2024, I'm pretty sure Wrigley is second worst, only behind Seattle as far as park factor. Bottom five home run ballpark. We have some lefty power, and I don't know if you can split it up right left, but it's always harder for lefties to hit homers in that ballpark, especially when the wind's blowing in, which it has all year.
It's just amazing. The team WRC plus at Wrigley is 93. Away from Wrigley, it's 105. So I always think, okay, if that's the case, how much of it is year to year? We'd obviously need all kinds of park factor data, you know, going back here, but is there any way to build a team that isn't susceptible to some of these wild swings of meteorological fortune?
I mean, you just saw the Yankees come in with three of the most prolific power hitters, you know, two in Judge and Stanton of our generation. And then, you know, Soto has 38 homers this year. Plus a guy, Anthony Rizzo, who's a 30 homer a year guy playing in New York, and they had zero homers in three games. So do we. But if you were at the ballpark for those 3 days, wind was blowing dead in at 40 miles an hour. Stanton hit one 110 at 25. You can't build a human that hits a baseball harder than that. You can't physically put it together. It was 110.7 at 25. It didn't get out of the ballpark. Judge hit one 107.7 at 26. It's a homer in every single stadium in the big leagues. barely got to the track. So you can't build a team unless you want to build a team that bunts and slaps the ball and has perfect vision to hit the ball on the ground behind somebody. It doesn't exist. That's not how it works at this level. There's no magic pill for how to score runs in an environment like that. Yeah, they didn't walk anybody. You know, the teams that take their walks, or we get when we get walked by other teams and are able to make some stuff happen on the base paths, that's how you score in those games. The Yankees did a great job of not walking guys. They attacked us. We had some balls hard, didn't fall. They were coming backwards. And in that series, you saw, I think the Yankees put up, what, 5 or 6 total runs, and we put up 2. Like, that was what Wrigley was doing for the weekend. And so that it's unfortunately, it's just part of playing at Wrigley Field. Some years are better than others, and this one's been really tough.
I like the way that you marvel at stuff that happens in the game. Mm-hmm. And even though these are guys that you're competing with, I find Stanton to be such an interesting watch, because how many times a year is he completely fooled? He's out on his front foot, his butt is sticking out, and he still hits the ball out of the ballpark. Like, there's stuff that goes on in your game, Ian, with some of these guys, and you're playing against a bunch of them tonight, that they do this incredible stuff. When you're out there, I know that it's competition. But when you come back and you're watching tape and you're looking at these guys, what are the things that you marvel at and go, that guy, no one should be able to do what that guy's doing?
I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of it throughout the league. I think you know, these two teams are good examples of kind of some of those players. I think last night, you know, watching those top three hitters for the Dodgers, Kyle was making great pitches, and those guys were so disciplined and so stubborn. And if he got behind in the count, they just refused to chase and let him back in the count, and it was so impressive to watch those three guys back to back to back go through and have those professional at bats, you know, every time through. So little things like that. I think Stanton's ability to drive the baseball over the field, that was, we talked about it on the podcast last week, like one of the most underappreciated kind of careers that he's putting together that's going on right now. 400 plus homers, and the longevity he's been able to do that. He's got over an 800 OPS this year. And I guess the expectation on that team is you have to have a 1 dot OPS to be a superstar over there. But it's, you know, just little things like that that you really appreciate from afar.
I went and checked Porter Hodges' numbers because you watch him, you're like, all right, that stuff plays. Like that's real. Got an ERA of 1.7. He's already been worth about a win in just 33 appearances and 37 innings. I think there might be something there. You agree?
Yeah, his stuff's really good. He competes. He goes out there and really he has a good attitude for that role at the back end. But the fastball moves, the fastball cuts, which is unique. And then the spin plays really well off those lines. So just in general, what he's been able to do to kind of help solidify the back end of our bullpen has been fantastic, and you really trust him when he comes in the game.
Considering that there have been two teammates that have made their way back to Wrigley Field for the first time, what were the Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo experiences like?
I mean, just awesome for both those guys to be able to come back and get the kind of the attention, the honor that they deserve for what they contributed. You know, obviously, Javi, you know, being able to play that series, you know, he was dealing with the hip injury all year and, you know, had to eventually have that surgery. But for him to get that, to play that series and be recognized by the fans, you know, it was just, that was great. And then Riz, after all this time coming back and, you know, how much he meant to the organization, the fans, I think the off the field too, with all the work that the Rizzo Foundation has done, his whole family was there, and to watch them experience that and take it in was just really cool and really special. And, you know, he deserved all that love that he got.
Tell us what we need to know about the Connect Roasters charitable empire and beyond. I know this is often the time of year where you do some outreach to fans at Wrigley Field as you sort of get closer to the end. What's in store?
Yeah, we just actually signed some stuff for Caleb, and we're going to do a few more drops as we go this year. Be in Chicago a little bit this offseason, so looking to put something together around the coffee shop in Bourbonnais, but cold brew just into Wrigley for the players recently, so we're excited about that.
Oh, just the players. I see.
Well, the front office, too. The front office has had it. Here's the thing. The front office has had the cold brew upstairs, and the players haven't, but we're going to get it downstairs, and then we're going to have to talk to somebody about getting it in the stands for the fans. We need that to happen, too.
Agreed. Ian, thanks so much. Good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
That is Ian Happ of your Chicago Cubs. In a moment, let's discuss some of the weirdness that's going around on with the Colorado Buffaloes and the coverage of the team, which is, I'm not sure if we can do like a full sort of step back as media and ask, you know, what are we doing and how are we handling this? I think it's fair to ask. So we will next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I mean, how many times did Riley get touched? How many times did Riley get touched? They was able, like, of course, whenever you're able to run the ball consistently and whenever you're able to, then that opens up the pass, you know? But it's just like you got to understand, like, what your team good at. So it's like, why would we keep running the ball if, okay, we out there and we get in a situation where it's a must get and we don't get it?
Are those like kind of like 4th-and-1 conversions that haven't gone your guys' way in the last couple of years? Is that kind of play into everybody's mind? Is that kind of something on your mind thinking about, you know, advancing the ball and whatnot?
Nah, I'd rather, if we're going to go down, I'd rather go down swinging, honestly, because I know I could throw the best punt.
Okay, that's Shedeur Sanders. Seems like his brother is going to be out for a little while with a broken arm. But is that okay to basically say, hey, the other guy didn't get touched? I'm running for my life back here. If you're an offensive lineman, does that motivate you to do the best work that you can for that guy?
Well, the offensive line has been a big issue for Colorado the last two seasons, and you would understand why. Deion walked into a place where they had won one game the season before. And part of that has to do with them being kind of a lower rung program in Power Five conferences and mismanagement over the last like decade or so of Colorado football. So he comes in and he has these two incredibly talented players. His son, who is probably going to be a first-round quarterback, I don't know if he's going to go number one, but I think he's a first-rounder for sure. And then Travis Hunter, who is an amazing two-way player. They also come in with a lot of, you know, some chest pounding, chest thumping going on to try and change things. Colorado, as a university, has benefited from Deion being there immensely.
To the tune of something like they estimate $60 million worth of marketing value.
There's been an uptick incredible in season ticket holders, and strangely enough, in Boulder, it doesn't have a very big black population, they've seen a major jump in black fans being season ticket holders. There have been people who have joked that they've taken the CU emblem and made it HBCU to say that this is, you know, become an HBCU, which it is not. But there's been a lot of heat. The question now is, can Deion build at this level? Can he build an actual team at this level? And the offensive line thing, they've run a lot of players off, partially because of some of the stuff that happened with the offensive line last year. They ran a lot of players off and they're trying to rebuild it. I don't think that while Shedeur and Travis are there, I don't think that they're going to get to where Deion wants it to go. And there have been a whole bunch of different stories about things that are going on there, that they're the inside of the locker room. There have been fights and there have been guns brandished. And then there's the idea of there have been coaches who have been caught, or a coach and an ex-coach fighting. And there being video commentary from Warren Sapp, who is now on the coaching staff at Colorado. And he might have even found himself like as a coach there. Because I've heard some really interesting interviews with Sapp talking about not wanting to coach and then being up there in Boulder and kind of finding himself a little bit. It's there are some people who will tell you that it's a mess right now in Boulder. And there are some people who will say, well, you got to give him a little bit more time to get this right. My thing is, if you have the top, one of the two of the top players in the draft, because I think both Travis and Shedeur will go in the first round. What happens when you lose that level of star power? The game against Nebraska, you could see it coming a mile away on how it was going to go from the North Dakota State game. If North Dakota State would have had just a little bit more talent, they would have won that game at Colorado. And now you bring in a Nebraska team that does have enough talent, and they've got a guy that might be drafted in the first round a couple years from now, and Dylan Raiola. So they took care of business. And because Colorado has been loud in announcing their presence, they are open. They've opened themselves up to mockery.
And
so after they lose the game in Nebraska, because one of the controversies of Colorado right now is the band is not allowed to play the fight song when they score a touchdown. They have to play Shedeur's rap song.
I thought that Sanders pushed back on that.
He did.
And
he said that's
not true.
And then the guys in Nebraska, when they were celebrating, they played Shedeur's song in the locker room.
Well, you ask for it. And I think the fame and the buzz outstripped the football fast. And there's something to be learned, perhaps, in the modern era and in this NIL transfer portal, whatever you want to say, that it's all fun. It's all great. But at some point, you got to be good. And they're just not good yet. Maybe it doesn't matter yet. And they've also benefited from what I think is fawning coverage of Deion Sanders himself. And part of that is that he's very good at it. He has been one of the great self-promoters in sports in my lifetime. The fact that he nicknamed himself Neon Deion and Prime Time, and he's been amazing at it. And he continues to be amazing at it as a coach, to the point where you have this idea of Coach Prime, of people addressing him as Coach Prime. But I don't think that's proper. I don't think you should ever call someone who isn't your coach, coach. Sometimes it's a term of endearment. I get it. But he has had a long honeymoon already.
He has, and they're going to have to start winning soon. But, and remember, what were they, 4-0 last year? They're 4-0, and there were a lot of people like, well, you know, this is probably fool's gold of what you're seeing, and then once they get into conference play, it'll be a lot harder. And then they got into conference play, and it was a lot harder. And here's the thing about this. If you're going from one win, and then the next season you end up with five, that's clearly progress. But considering the sizzle around it, College Game Day is on campus at Boulder and all of these
things.
That's
what I mean. It's all great, but ultimately that has to be paid off.
It has to be.
By being good.
Yes, and now the question is how quickly can that be paid off? And watching Deion navigate this at this level, when he was at, you know, when he was in the SWAC, there were issues. There were other coaches in the SWAC who didn't like his get down. And it's do the ends justify the means? Because, and here's why I bring this up. I know we're running out of time. There were a lot of things that Deion did at Jackson State that were questionable. There were also a lot of things that the administration did at Jackson State that were questionable. He elevated the SWAC to where they had one of the kickoff games in week zero was a SWAC game. They had ESPN all to themselves, and that's something that doesn't ordinarily happen. So he did a great job of raising the profile, but at what cost did he raise the profile of the SWAC as a conference? Same thing with Colorado. He is clearly raising the profile.
Who's here?
I thought.
Look who's here.
Here's the thing.
What do we do to deserve this?
So wait, I do my
gracing these hallways.
I do my walk during every break. I try to get my steps in, especially after last night because we played softball and I'm an old man who's very sore. And I was like, I think that's Jalen Johnson. I was like, no, it's not Jalen Johnson. And then I just kept walking. And now I'm like, oh, it's Jalen Johnson. So that's cool.
It is. You did not mistake that for. It's not a fool's Jalen Johnson.
No, it's the actual Jalen Johnson.
The actual Jalen Johnson. So always good to see him here.
So there's a lot to this. We could honestly do 4 hours on the Colorado thing. At least I could. I'm fascinated by it.
I
could.
I might be able to do an hour and a half with you on it, but
because there's all sorts of stuff that goes back to the HBCU stuff, the Deion's high school. There's a lot to unpack with it, but it's one of those things that's worth watching for sure.
You want some sexy football?
All the time.
Oh, yeah. We got sexy football for you. Tim Jenkins is going to break down Caleb Williams' performance, the good, the bad, and the in-between when we return. So you don't want to miss it. Tim Jenkins is great. He's next on the score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.